We've started a new sermon series, Embracing. And last week we embraced our faith, and this week we will be embracing hope. We will get our text from two very different parts of the Bible. We're going to start right at the beginning in Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. And then we will share in the letter of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let us embrace hope together. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." And then if you would also join me in the letter of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Embracing hope. That's not always easy. And yet as Christians, we are told in the scripture of 1 Corinthians 13:13, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But that hope is one of our main things. And in the world today, we are always encouraged to be happy, 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 joy, 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 prosper, prosper, prosper. That we forget that sometimes we need the sprinkle of challenges, of obstacles, of pain, Because if we live in this land of happy, happy, where's the hope? We'll get bored. We won't even recognize the good. We need the levels to understand. Also, happy, 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 joy, joy, prosper, prosper is very surface. And the Lord goes deep. The Lord doesn't just need an offering or just to go through the rituals or just pass time. God wants to dwell with us, within us. And that means covering all the story. So let's start with Abraham. He was sitting in kind of what is the entrance or the doorway. In the middle of the day, when the sun would be the hottest, and they live in the desert. So perhaps he was in his doorway just to catch whatever sample of a breeze he could, but still trying to keep some shade on him. But he also was looking out. He was looking to serve others. He is 100 years old at this point, in the middle of the desert, in the heat of the desert, and he is looking to help others. That's one of the greatest ways for us to grow our own hope, is to help offer it to others. And so he sees three people coming through, three travelers who are probably weary, again, in the heat of the day. And he hastened, he quickly runs out to them, gets down and bows to them and says, "My Lord," with a little L, "let me help you, let me assist you. If you find favor, let me serve you." I mean, he is doing this with eagerness in his heart. He is doing this as a gift. I think we've all been where we've either had a worker, like a cashier who's there just getting the paycheck, just passing time, hoping that this hour will pass. And then you've also probably had the person who you're like, "Are you gonna move in with me? I think we're new best friends." They somehow know the name of your two pets now, and you've only met them 5 minutes ago. They know your whole family. They're excited for the birthday celebration coming up. I mean, they are in it and excited. How that brings joy to you and how it changes everything. So Abraham, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the sun, at 100 years old, hastens to these weary travelers. "How can I make your day better? You know what? I could bring you water. If you would wait a moment, I'll bring you water that you can kind of freshen yourself up, wash up, to have a water, to have a drink, and I'll even give you a bite of food so that you can rest under the tree for shade. Like, I'm going to take care of all your physical needs that 2 seconds ago you were probably grumbling to your friend. Oh, what I would give for a drink of water. Oh, what I would give for just a tasty bite or just a moment to rest my bones." Now, have you ever been the person who asked, "Just let me know if you need anything. I am totally going to help you"? I'm assuming you've offered that. But sometimes when we offer that, we're doing it kind of like, "How's your day? Good, fine, great. How can I help you?" You just know that you're not alone and you're about to like turn around and they're like, "You know what? I would love some water." Oh, you want something now? Yeah, I could, okay. Wasn't expecting that. Okay, I will definitely come up with water for you. Or, "You know what? I really could have that car ride. I really could have someone bring me to a doctor on Tuesday." Oh, yeah. Oh, I offered help and they actually want it. There is nothing that's more discouraging than someone, "Oh, I'd love to help you." "Oh, but not in that way. Not now. Not tomorrow. Not really ever." Well, that's not offering hope or help in any shape, way, or form. That was just a platitude. But here Abraham said, "I could get you water, we'll get you shade, we'll get you fed, we'll even get you cleaned up." And then there's that moment they go, "All right, do what you said." And Abraham hastened He did this quickly. He did this with energy, like, Sarah, get the flour, knead it up, 3 cakes. I've got 3 guests and we're gonna feed them. And Sarah, in this energy and in this excitement, she goes and makes the cakes quickly. Have you ever done that? Like, you weren't gonna do a task, but someone came so confidently to you and told you exactly what to do, and you're like, oh, I can do that, and that sounds like fun. Let us feed these guests. She didn't even know these people existed 2 minutes ago, but please let me bake a cake in the middle of the day for you. And she does it. And Abraham feeds it to them, and they enjoy the company. And they said, Abraham, we have found favor with you. You have given us this joy and this moment of rest. Where is Sarah? Oh, she's in the next room. I'm going to come back, and you will have the gift of a child. Well, Sarah is overhearing this. Now! Have you ever heard, like, the most absurd thing and was not expecting it? And it just, like, burbles out in laughter? This can happen when you are at your saddest, like you are so overwhelmed with feeling. It could be the most uncomfortable thing you've ever heard. Sarah is 90 years old. Abraham is 100. She has probably prayed to God for a child, I'm going to say at least 50 times, maybe 100 times, maybe 300 times. But there's a point where you just go, yeah, this time has passed for me. Like, physically, there was a moment she said, I will probably not have a child. She's 90 years old. And these strangers who literally came out of nowhere are saying, she will have a child. We don't even know if they see her at this point. I don't know if she served the cakes or she sent them with Abraham. And they're like, she will have a child. That's crazy. Oh, knee slapper. But also, how many years of pain? So many of us know, or maybe experienced ourselves, the inability to have a child. And that can even come after you've had children and you still feel like this urgency that maybe there's one more or two more, and you're not granted that, or that you have a child and lost them. There is so much heartbreak in that choice. For someone, some stranger, to just trip over, it could have been so painful. And in the pain and in the sorrow, like, I mean, here's my open wound, just pour salt, why not? But what does the guest say? Now the Lord is talking, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the scripture. Because we're told that in the scriptures, entertain strangers. You might be entertaining angels. That when we serve the needy, we are serving God himself. So these 3 strangers that came upon, some discussion, maybe they were angels in human form, but that they spoke on the Lord's behalf and promised this child. And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh when I said she would have a child? And what does Sarah say? Oh, no, 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 I didn't laugh. No, no, no. Because she doesn't want to get in trouble. She's like afraid, what the wrath. I mean, she just was kind of in that uncomfortable shock, you are crazy moment, and felt out of the room and didn't quite know how loud maybe it came out. Have you ever tried to deny trouble? I just want to get past this pain. I just want to get past this fear. You know, maybe you've entered that room and there's a broken lamp and there's only one other person who could have broke the lamp. And you say, how did the lamp break? Oh, I didn't even know the lamp was broken. I guess it just was like that when I came in. There's no other explanation. Because we fear the anger, the wrath that maybe we know we did wrong. or that we're not even sure we did wrong, but it feels like we're being accused, and we just don't know how to react. I think Sarah is justified in every fiber of her being that at 90 years old, that strangers say, "You're gonna have a child. You're crazy. Enjoy your cakes, we're so glad you stopped by." What we find out in chapter 21, she is given a child, Isaac. This is that season of hope. See, the world can tell us up and down something is impossible. The world up and down can tell us we don't have a reason to have hope. We can see the news titles that are saying you should be afraid, you should be scared. The world is falling apart. I don't know. But I've got good news for you if you're a believer. If the world falls apart, this was only our temporary home anyways. We've got paradise on the other side. So I'm not saying, like, don't take care of yourself and don't be safe, but at the same time, like, don't live in that fear. Because your hope is much bigger. You know that a tomorrow is coming of paradise. And so if people say ridiculous things to you, okay. Maybe I can have some hope. In the Advent season, we planted our seeds of hope for our church, for our lives, for our community. I hope you're still watering them with prayer. Because we know that this world doesn't have the full story. Because in the worldly standards, there's no way Sarah's having a baby at 90. But God, well, God can change anything. And when we say that about our faith, when embracing it, that means we get to have hope in the most crazy of circumstances. That we understand on a different level. So if we're painting a season of hope, how many of you are familiar with the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka? Right? He's this estranged candy inventor. He brings joy through the sweets, and no one sees him. He becomes kind of a recluse. But he's going to magically open the factory. And they have sent out 5 tickets in the world that somewhere in one of his candies, you have the opportunity to come to this magical world of Candy Factory to meet Willy Wonka himself. Now, if they said these tickets are all going to go to this one store, people around the world wouldn't have that gift of hope. But because there's 5 random tickets that went everywhere, any candy bar you open, you might have seen the gold. That there was a chance, there was an opportunity, there was this hope. And then there was a fake ticket claimed, and all 5 tickets had been found. And the hope was no longer. Except, that's the twist. There was still one more ticket. And so we had gone really down and upset that we had lost our opportunity. And then there was still one glimmer of a potential. And our hero, Charlie, of all the people who only buys 2 candy bars when people are buying 2,000. Having factory workers open candy on their behalf, finds the ticket. God doesn't limit God to us. Everyone has a chance at the golden ticket. And we have the opportunity to share it with everyone, to share our message of hope. This is the hope Paul's talking about. Now we have to go back to Paul's story. Paul was the best of the best of killing off Christians, of taking people out who didn't believe the Jewish law. He knew that better than almost anyone, like was an authority of it. And then one day his whole world changed and he became an ambassador for Christ. He was willing to go to jail to share this faith, knowing full well what he did to people who said, "I believe." And he's the letters we follow in the New Testament. That's a message of hope. And in this chapter 5 of Romans, he reminds us that we have the hope to boast to the glory of God. That anything that happens in our day is a reason to point back to God. Do you have good news? Celebrate, praise God then. Say thank you, God. Are you in a valley of death? Are you in a struggle? Are you in a challenge? We still praise God. Because we know the hope things will get better and that we are not alone, even when it feels like it. Even when the world is shouting at us discouragement and telling us lies that we are worthless or that there is no reason to have hope, that nothing will get better than this moment. There is always hope that things will get better. Because there is always the promise of paradise. We might not enjoy the now, but that there is always still a reason to have hope. And as I shared, if we always lived in that happy, happy, we would never know the full scope of hope. We need some of that bitterness. If you ate sugar after sugar after sugar, your teeth are going to rot out and you are not enjoying it. But sweetness mixed with a little sour, or a little bitter, or a little salt, that just brings out the sweetness. Anyone who likes a little creamer with their coffee, that little sweet note, because coffee is very bitter. Anyone who enjoys watermelon, and you put a little salt on it to bring out that sweetness. A chef knows that you have to enhance the flavor. And so when we are struggling and we don't think that there's hope, Jesus says, but wait, there's more to the story. There is always a reason for hope. And you may have experienced a red letter day. It might have been recent. It might have been years or decades ago where you lost a loved one. As we are in Father's Day, this is a very bittersweet day for some. Some who are being celebrated or who have had magnificent relationships with their fathers. And some who wanted to be a father and it didn't happen, or that you have lost your loved one and you just miss and grieve them. It's a bittersweet. But if you've had that red letter day and then God shows up, you might have felt at your most unforgivable, you may have felt at your most worthless. You might have felt like there is no one who could love me in this moment. When I was 19, I had a horrible, horrible day. My whole world had flipped upside down. I was at a loss. And the event doesn't matter because I know that you understand a red letter day. When something happened that you could never have imagined. And it changed your whole story. And I was sitting with my best friend. My mom had to leave, and my mom did not want to leave me. So I don't know if she called my best friend over or how that happened, but I know that she was sitting with me. And we were upstairs. We lived in a split level. This is when we lived up north, Minnesota. And my mom said she had to run an errand. And she opened the garage door. And because of where we were sitting, my friend could see the door first. And she's like, well, hello, stranger. Because who walked in that door was my brother, who lived in South Carolina at that time. And within half a day, made it across the country. In the middle of Advent, he was a pastor. So there was just that extra benefit. But he is one of the closest people to my heart. I did not expect him to come walking through that door. But God knew I needed his words and his hug out of anybody else. You may have gotten that phone call from the one person you needed to hear from. You might have had that person show up on your doorstep when you felt the most unlovable, or that there is no way that God even knows you're still here. given a gift of a person you wouldn't even think of being an angel to you. Some of the people you might have had your biggest cat fight with, your biggest fight with, threw down the fists, the one that held your hand on the day you grieved, the day that helped you recover from a magnificent surgery, the one who maybe brought you to Christ. God has a way of telling a story we could not imagine. I mean, he'll send three travelers in the middle of a desert with a 100-year-old man just trying to catch a breeze, who would give them the promise of a lifetime. That child you prayed for decades, well, you're about to meet him. There is always a season and reason of hope. It might be a great celebration, but I have to say, the biggest moments of hope was when I was the closest to being hopeless. When I was desperate, when I felt unworthy, when it felt like something was dying or leaving, and God made a new opportunity. Maybe you experienced heartbreak and then the love of your life comes through the door. Maybe it was the job you had trained for decades, and you woke up one morning and said, I don't even like it. I'm gonna walk away. And you kind of felt like God was like, you go. And you're like, but God, I have no paycheck. I know. But the story's about to get really good. Look for your seasons of hope. Maybe like Abraham, it's to help others embrace theirs. That's what Paul is telling us. He tells us that we're going to have to suffer. Oh, Paul, that's not selling this Christian thing at all. But see, when you suffer, you're going to endure. You're going to get stronger. There is no great athlete in this world who hasn't stumbled or had a fall or a major injury. There is no Olympian putting on the gold who didn't strain a muscle, break a bone. There is not a chef who is getting accolades who doesn't have a couple burns or scars to show you on there from the ovens. We're going to have to suffer some of the hiccups and the pain, but that encourages our skills and endurance, and we'll not burn ourselves again or be more aware how to take care of it. And sometimes when we've suffered, we get to share and help our loved ones. I know this pain. I might not be able to take you away from it, but I can sit with you in such an empathetic way. Or teach you a lesson or two to avoid a couple of the hiccups. So we go through the suffering to get endurance, and the endurance creates our character. Because we know that if I got knocked down, I can get back up again. And if I get knocked down again, I know that I've picked myself up twice. I can do it a third. And we might get tired that fifth and sixth time, but we know the story. We know that we've gotten through every hard day until this point, and God has still walked with us every one of them. Well, all right. I've still got character. I have the hope for tomorrow, because I know the final story. I know the ending, and it's amazing. So if I got a couple suffering and I build up endurance, I know we're going to see paradise together. See, I know a Lord and Savior who at my weakest, at my most horrible, at my most unforgivable, said, I love you this much. And took every foible, took every sin, took everything I had done wrong and said, I love you. And I'll love you tomorrow. I'm not waiting for you to be perfect. And because we know that part of the story, we can embrace others to share it. We can embrace this hope, embrace the good news to share it.
and that we know that there is always room. We're not limited to 5 golden tickets. And if our circle has to just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we plant more and more seeds of hope to share the biggest story of hope. That Jesus Christ would die for you on your best day, but Jesus Christ would also die on your worst and love you every step of the way. That's a story of hope. That's a story we can boast about. Let us embrace hope together. Almighty God, we look to you for an encouraging word. We look forward to you when we are struggling. We want you to help us through the suffering. And even if it creates endurance, to not let us grow weary, to help us form our character, and to truly embrace that story of hope. Amen.